Hey, this is Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, helping you jumpstart your career in financial services. As always, I'm bringing to you fresh ideas from a recently aired video on my YouTube channel, which you can find at www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP. Do me a favor, my friend, and text me at 214-699-7599 with any questions you might have from this show so I can help you along your journey in becoming a successful financial professional. Again, that number is 214-699-7599. All right, let's hop into today's topic. Hey there, Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, and we are diving deep into this series. We're into part three. If you haven't seen the previous two parts, I'll link those up in the cards for you. You definitely want to check those out. We've been talking about how to become a financial professional, consultant, you know, coach, advisor. How do you decide on how to do those things? And the first thing is you got to start with finding out what your route is. What path are you going to go down? Non-traditional or the traditional path? And then you got to find a mentor. You got to find somebody that you know you want to be like, or have at least an inkling of knowledge that you want to be like, and then start to follow after them. And I gave you a really good rubric last week or last time we met to talk to them on how they can become your mentor. And today we want to talk about how do you get that experience, right? And my friend Ashley Xantas has this whole thing about trying before you buy it, you know, dating financial services. So today we're going to talk about some ways to do that, because in most instances, you're going to have experience before you dive into this field. So let's get started. All right, getting that experience, you know, it's one of those tough things, right? I've talked to so many people that have gone down the traditional path and even, you know, wanting to do maybe like the CFP or something like that, where you have a big, pretty big constraint with earning the right to use the CFP marks until you finish all the four E's. We've talked about this before, but we're referring to the experience requirement that is 4,000 hours if you've done some type of apprenticeship or internship, maybe through college, and you've worked for a financial advisory firm and been supervised in the elements of financial planning. Or if you haven't, then you got 6,000 hours. Well, if you just do the math, 2,000 hours a year is a normal working year. It's going to take you somewhere between 2 to 3 years, probably the better part of 3 years, to get the experience requirement. So how do you do that? Like, what can you do has been the question that a lot of people have asked me. And when I say date financial services or try before you buy, there's a couple of ways to go about that. You know, when you're walking up and down the aisle, like at Costco, and they give you a little sample of, you know, a product that they're trying to get off their shelves or trying to get you to like, it's the same thing. It's sampling. And a lot of the sampling you're going to be doing, trying to become a financial professional, will not always pay you. And I think that's the biggest constraint, is how do I balance what I'm already doing and getting paid for and steal time away from there in order to learn and switch over? That's a question you're gonna have to answer yourself. It's how bad do you want it? There are a few ways to do this though. So think about volunteering. You could easily take the steps that we talked about in finding a mentor. And even if that person didn't mentor you, they might likely allow you to shadow them for a few hours, you know, whatever arrangement you want to set up. Let's say that you said, hey, I would really love to shadow your practice and see how you're doing the financial servicing, you know, thing. Like, how do you work with clients? What is the client experience? How do you prospect? Things of that nature. Drop in the office, you know, with some pre-scheduled times that you can look at what they're doing. And if it is something that is appealing to you, then work out an arrangement where maybe you can do some type of bartering or whatever the payment could end up being. It's probably just going to be that you end up donating some time and they get some value back from you, which is going to set up the relationship. And that's pretty much how it's going to work. You know, maybe you can do this during the summer. Maybe you can do this on weekends. I don't know how you would work that out, but that is one particular idea. Hey, Dominique here, and I hope you are really enjoying this week's episode. Look, if you're a current or aspiring financial professional and you'd like to join a community of like-minded individuals that I'm sharing my 20 plus years of experience with, make sure you visit my website at www.djh-capital.com for more information. Now back to this week's episode. Now, in the event that you can't find a firm to work for, and it's hard to do this for a broker-dealer, you may want to go with a nonprofit organization. So there are a few that I have on the top of mind, like Junior Achievement allows you to, you know, volunteer at a local high school where you can start teaching things like financial literacy. They have these events where they have these days, these event days where people come out and learn about the financial services industry. You can volunteer in one of those capacities, and they may not count towards hours, but they may give you exposure to the financial services field because you're going to be working with other professionals in these events, and that's a good way to network also. So you may not always be able to satisfy the hours requirement, because if you're not going after the CFP, or if you're going after the CFP, that'd be something that you want to be kind of keep in the back of your mind, being able to kill two birds with one stone. But in the event you can't, you're still able to sample, you know, what this industry looks like. So Junior Achievement is one of them. You know, Jumpstart Coalition is another one. There is also Sensability, C-E-N-T-S, Ability, that all these websites you can go check out, and they have instances in which you can fill out a volunteer application and start to find some opportunities, hopefully within your locale, within your city, within your metro area, that will allow you to get exposure to this field through of financial services through various mediums. You know, it may be through schools, it may be through, you know, another like YMCA type of organization. Or what you also may find out is that independent firms have pro bono hours that they sometimes do, and they end up partner with these organizations. And so you end up, you know, kind of connecting the dots that way. It's not a, you know, a clean solution, I would say. But these are ways that, you know, you're going to obviously stick out from the rest that are trying to do this, because not many people are using these avenues to volunteer that aren't in the industry already. And so, you know, this is going to prompt some great conversations, probably some great questions that you will be able to ask when people are like, well, so what are you doing this for? And you tell them you're a career changer and what you're thinking about and things of this nature. I think it's an excellent way to broaden your network and get exposure to this field. Last but not least, you may want to consider partnering with a local church. We've got April, Financial Literacy Month. We've got tax time that's going on. You could definitely volunteer to maybe give a talk around financial literacy, economic empowerment. There's plenty of opportunities for, let's call it, low-income families to get those type of services at a pro bono level. And volunteering in one of those situations, a church may be a great way to do that, is probably a good experience for you. And just good exposure, I would say, if you're trying to get hours, if you're trying to get exposure, these are things that you don't need to let fall off your radar, especially based on the time of year that we're at, where we've got really two big pushes from a national level to help you get exposure to some of these areas in financial services. I would also implore you to check out some of the work that Julie Kalkowski is doing. This is another way to kind of think about financial services. This video that we did, I can't remember, maybe it's been about 3 months now. It was definitely in 2019. She's partnering with the city of Omaha with her grant to help low-income families. There's so many different ways to do this. Julie's a very busy person, but definitely reach out to her on LinkedIn and let her know that you watch this channel, and maybe she can point you to some resources that I have not mentioned. So hopefully that is helpful. Definitely check out this video with Julie Kalkowski. She is probably, I would say, one of the first and foremost people that comes to mind in the nonprofit sector that is really doing some great work with financial literacy. An excellent way for you to possibly partner in your community doing some of this stuff that she's doing. Definitely check that video out. If you learned anything from this and if it's been helpful for you, please like, share, or subscribe, and we will see you back next time. Bye-bye. Well, that wraps up this week's episode, and I hope you were able to glean at least one takeaway that will help you on your path. You know what? I'd really love to hear what it was that I said that may have helped you. Feel free to drop me an email at info@djh-capital.com. That's info@djh-capital.com. One last thing, my friend. It would really help the podcast if you would leave a review on the platform that you're enjoying it on. I'd really appreciate it, and it will help more financial professionals like yourself find out about what we're doing here. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.